Shalom to all. In today's Afiyah Mishnah, we're going to learn with Sechz Menachas, Perek Tes, Mishnah Aleph, all the way through Perek Yud, Mishnah Gimel. And Mishnah Aleph tells us, Shtei Midos Shel Yavesh Hayu Mikdash. There were two measurements, two kalim for dry measurements in the base of Mikdash. Just two kalim, that's it. Yisaroin v'chatz Yisaroin. A one Yisaroin measurement and half of an Yisaroin. Now, Rav Meir argues and he says, Yisaroin v'chatz Yisaroin. There was three. Two of the kalim were an Yisaroin and the third was the half Yisaroin. And he dashes this from a pasuk that there has to be two Yisaroin measurements and the difference between the two of them is that one of them measured an Yisaroin only when it was a heaping measurement, and the other one measured an Yisaroin when it was smoothed out and flat. So it was slightly bigger than the first one. And the Mishnah continues, Yisaroin Mayim Mishamesh. What was the Yisaroin measurement used for? Shabbatim Maidei L'chol Menachas. That was used for all the Karbanos Mincha. Every Mincha had at least an Yisaroin of flour, and so this Yisaroin measurement was used for that. Now, Loihai Maidei Loi Bishal Shloish L'Apar V'Loi Bishal Shnayim L'Ayel Ela Maidei Nisroinais. When a par is brought, it needs three Yisroinais of flour, and an Ayel, it needs two Yisroinais of flour. Mishnah is saying, we don't measure out a kli of three Yisroinus for a par or two Yisroinus for ayel. It's one Yisaroin measurements at a time. We just do it times three or times two. Nachatz Yisaroin Mayim Mishamesh. What was the half Yisaroin measurement used for? Shabbatim Moed Chavite Kohen Gadol. That was the mincha the Kohen Gadol was brought every single day, called the Minchas Chavitin. Machzor Abayker, Machzor Ben Arbayim. Half was brought in the morning, half was brought in the afternoon. He would bring a full Yisaroin, but we needed to measure half of it, so that's why there had to be a measurement of a half of an Yisaroin. Moving on to Mishnah Beis. Shava Midas Shalach HaYemikdash. In regards to liquid measurements, there were seven different kalim, seven different measurements. Hin, which is a total of 12 loig, v'chatzi ahin, half a hin, ushlishis ahin, a third of a hin, urvias ahin, a quarter of a hin, loig, v'chatzi loig, urvias loig. So that's a total of seven. Now, Blesbar Tzadik Aymer, he argues and says, the shenosis hayu bahin. The hin measurement had shenosis, it had markings. There wasn't a hin, and half of a hin, and quarter of a hin, and a third of a hin. It was just a big kli, which was a hin, and it had markings in it. Ad kan lapar, up until here, you need for a par. Ad kan la'ayil, up until here, you need for an ayil. Akan lekeves, up until here, you need for a lamb. Kind of like some people have a big measuring cup like that at home. Instead of having a one cup and a half and a quarter and a third and an eighth, it's just one large cup that has measurements up until here is this and up until here is that. Rav Shimon Aymer, he argues and says, Lo yahay sham hin. There wasn't a hin measurement at all in the base of Mikdash because v'chi mehaya hin mishamesh. What would the hin be used for anyway? There's nothing to use it for. There's no measurements at all in any of the karbonos that require a hin. The only thing that ever required a hin was the shemen ha-mishcha, the anointing oil that Moshe Rabbeinu made at the beginning of the Mishkan, and since then it was never used, and therefore according to Reb Shimon, that kli was hidden away, and we don't need a hin measurement at all. Now the problem is, we know that there's seven measurements that we have to have, so what's replacing hin with? And that's what Moshe clarifies, Ela midi yaseira shaloigu mechza haisa. There was another measurement that measured out a loig and a half, shabayim maidin l'minchas kain gadol, that was used to measure out the mincha, the kain gadol, the oil that was used, loigu mechza abayker, loigu mechza ben arbayim, a loig and a half in the morning, and a loig and a half in the afternoon. And Mishnah Gimel continues discussing the measurements in the Beis HaMikdash, now just in more detail. Revias Mehaisa Mishlameshes. What was a revias? This is the revias haloig, a quarter of a loig. What was that used for? Revias Mayim LaMetzairah, revias Shem LaNazir. The revias of a loig of water that's used for a Metzairah, part of its carbonis, the blood of a bird, is put into a revias of water and also a revias of oil for a Nazir. Chatzi loig Mayim Mishamesh. What about the half a loig measurement? What was that used for? Chatzi loig Mayim LaSaita, half a loig of water for a Saita in her process through Beis HaMikdash. Chatzi loig Shem LaToida, half of a loig of oil for carbon toida, this is used for 30 out of 40 of the lechamim. Ubalig, what about the one leg measurement? That was used as measurement for all the menachas because we know that every mincha came along with a leg of oil. And this is a filu mincha shal shishim yisaroin, even if a mincha had 60 yisaroin of flour, which means that it also has 60 leg of oil, nice and la shishim leg, that came along with 60 leg of oil, but in 60 individual measurements. Now, Blazer Yaakov Amir, he argues and says that no, a filu mincha shal shishim yisaroin, even if a mincha was 60 yisaroin of flour in la el luga, it only had its leg of oil, and that's it, no more than one. Shenamar, the pasuk says, "Lemincha v'leg shaman," for the mincha, whatever the mincha is, and one leg of oil, meaning it doesn't make a difference how big the mincha is, how much flour it uses, it's just one leg of oil. Continuing on with the measurements, shisha lapar, the sixth leg measurement was for the nesachim of a par, arba la'ayil, four for a ram, shlosh la'keves, three for a sheep, shlosh u'mechza la'menaira, three and a half for the menaira, mechatzi leg l'chal ner, that's because every ner, every lamp, or every receptacle in the menaira got half of a leg, and since there were seven, that's a total of three and a half leg. Moving on to Mishnah Dalid, Ma'arvin nischa elim b'nischa parim, nischa kvasim b'nischa kvasim, shel yachar b'shel tzibur, shel yom b'shel emesh. We're allowed to mix all these different types of nesachim together. Why? Well, because the elim and parim, they use the same amount of flour and oil, so they can be mixed together because one's not going to be drawn from the other. Similarly, one type of keves and another type of keves, it's all the same nesachim, so they can be mixed together. Similarly, with an individual's carbon or tzibur's carbon, it's all the same, so it can be mixed together. And yesterday's and today's nesachim as well. When a person brings a carbon that has nesachim along with it, he can actually actually has 10 days to bring the Nusachim, so he could bring yesterday's and today's Nusachim together, no problem. Aval ein ma'arv v'nischei kvasim v'nischei parim v'elim. No mixing the Nusachim of a keves along with the Nusachim of parim or elim. That's because they use different amounts of oil, and that means that the drier one is going to be siphoning or drawing from the wetter one, and that's a problem. Now, v'imbal on elu v'fnei atzman v'elu v'fnei atzman, if these two different types of Nusachim were mixed by themselves, v'nisarvu, and afterwards they got combined, sharing their kosher. However, imad shaloi balal, if before the oil and flour got mixed up with each other, these two different types of Nusachim got mixed together, pasul, then it's pasul. And lastly, hakeves habayim ha'omer, the sheep, which comes along with the carbon omer, aval pishim v'nechasek fula, even though the amount of flour is double, it uses two estrain of flour instead of one, loy ha'yu nusachim kfulin, the Nusachim, the wine and the oil part, was not doubled. And Mishnah tells us, kol amidus shayu b'mikdash ha'yu nigdashais, all the measurements in the base of Mikdash, when they had flour poured into them, it was a heaping measurement. It would go over the top of the kli a little bit. Chotz mishal kohen gadol, except for the minchas chavitin of the kohen gadol, shayu gad shel seicha, its extra measurement was inside of it. Now this is according to Shitas Rav Meir, whom we learned at the beginning of the parak, holds that there was two different measurements of an isarain. There was one measurement that held precisely an isarain, and there was another isarain measurement that held a little bit more than an isarain inside of it. This must be according to him that there was two different types of measurements of an isarain, and the slightly larger one was used for the mincha of the kohen gadol, so it didn't actually have to physically be heaped up with flour, whereas all the other measurements were using the precise one, and that's why it had to be heaped up. Now we discussed these heaping measurements. Midas halach, whenever we're discussing a moist measurement, something that held a liquid, such as oil, beirutzein kodesh, the heaping amount is kodesh. It's considered mekodesh in a kli shareis, and the way this works with liquid is by way of surface tension. You know, if you fill up a cup with water and you keep on pouring in drop by drop, you'll actually see that the water goes a little bit over the top without spilling over. That's called surface tension, and that extra amount, even though it's not inside the kli, is kodesh. However, midas hayavish, dry materials such as flour, beirutzein chayil, the heaping measurement, that which is heaped up over the top of the kli, that's chayil, it's not kodesh. That's because Tanakama holds that there's a difference in the way that they were mekadesh these two different types of measurements. The midas halach had shemen hamishcha poured both on the inside and on the outside. Therefore, when the liquid touches the top of the kli, which is considered the outside, it becomes kadosh. However, the kelim used for dry measurements only had shemen hamishcha inside them, not outside them. So the heaping part of the measurement, which is on top and is only touching the top of the kli, never touched the inside, so it doesn't become kadosh. Now Rabbi Kiva argues and says midas halach kadosh. The liquid measurements themselves, they were kadosh. Lefikach beirtzein kadosh. That's why the heap, the overflow, is kadosh as well. Whereas the midas hayavesh, the actual measurement itself of yavesh, chayil, it wasn't mekadosh at all. It never had shemen hamishcha on it. Lefikach beirtzein chayil. That's why the heaping measurement above it is chayil and it's not kadosh at all. Whereas Rabbi Yossi Amri, he argues and says lo mishum zeh, it's not because of that. Ella, rather, it's for a different reason. It's because shalach nekar vayavesh ein nekar. What does this mean? If we switch out the kuf for a kuf, we would still read it the same way, nekar, but now it's like the word la'akar, to uproot. Then when you start pouring the liquid inside of it, so whatever's at the bottom of the kli gets pushed to the top of the kli as more liquid gets filled up into it. And so that means that all the liquid here actually touched the inside of the kli, even the liquid which is a little bit above the surface. So that's why it's kadesh. Whereas by dry, when you pour flour in, the flour settles to the bottom and that's it. It doesn't get pushed to the top. Therefore, the heaping part of the dry measurement never touched the inside of the kli, so it's not kadesh. Moving on to Mishnah Vav, kol karbanos sibur vayachid tu'unin nusachin, all karbanos sibur and yachid, they all need nusachin brought along with them. Chutz, except for the following. Min habachar, a firstborn male animal, v'hamaiser, that's all new animals born to a person that year, have to be counted, 1, 2, 3, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and the 10th one is maiser behema, v'hapesach, the karban pesach, v'achatas v'asham, and a karban chatas and asham, all these do not need nusachim, el shechatas v'shal mitzar, v'asham etu nusachim, the chatas of mitzar, and his asham do need nusachim, but besides for that, all other karbanos chatas and asham do not need nusachim. And the reason for this is, not just chatas and asham, but the other ones as well, is because we learn from a pasuk that only karbanos that could be nidar v'nidav, a person could promise he's going to bring them, or he could just donate them, meaning they could be brought through a person's own volition, that's something that needs nusachim. But something that he has to bring, such as a chatas or asham, or b'char, maaser, pesach, that's a chiyuv placed on him, that doesn't require nusachim. Now, in the previous Mishnah, we mentioned karbanos sibur and karbanos yachid, so now we continue discussing that in regards to a different halacha that we have not really encountered yet. The Mishnah says, kol karbanos tzibur ein bahem smicha. All karbanos tzibur, all karbanos that are brought for the tzibur, for the public, they don't have smicha. No leaning is done on them. Chutz min ha-para b'alka mitzvahs v'sar mishtalech, except for these two. Para b'alka mitzvahs is also known as the para helm darshal tzibur. This is when Sanhedrin paskins incorrectly regarding something, the majority of Klal Yisrael follows it, and so they do not have to each individually bring a karban chatos. There's this one chatos brought for everyone called the para helm darshal tzibur that needs to have smicha on it, and the sar mishtalech, which is also known as the sar la'azazel, that's the goat which is thrown off the cliff on Yom Kippur. These two karbanos Tzibor do need to have smicha. Now, Rav Shimon says, Afsi Avodah Zara, even a sar that's brought for the Tzibor who accidentally serves Avodah Zara. Now we have the flip side, Kol Karbonos HaYachid Tu'unim Smicha. All private Karbonos do need smicha. Chutz Min HaBachar, except for a firstborn male animal, VeHaMaiser, and Maiser Behema, VeHaPesach, and a Karban Pesach. And that's based off a drash from Pasuk. Now, VeHaYoresh, somebody Yarshins, he inherits his father, who had left him over some Karbonos, Soimech, he does smicha to his father's Karbonos, and also maybe Nesachim, he brings the Nesachim along with it, and Umemir, he is able to accomplish Temura if he says Zu Temura Zu, that does work, even though he's not allowed to do it, but it still does work. Moving on to Mishnah Ches, continue to discuss smicha, HaKol Soimchen, anyone who's bringing a Karbon is able to do smicha, Chutz, except for the following, Mecher Shaita V'Katon, Cheresh is deaf mute, Shaita is somebody who doesn't have their mental capacities about them, and a Katon is a child under Bar Mitzvah. All these three are considered to be Lav B'nei Deya. They don't have the requisite halachic da'as to be able to do smicha. Suma, a blind person, this is based off of drasha as well. V'nachri, a non-Jew, v'ha'eved, a servant, v'ha'shliach, and somebody who's bringing a carbon for somebody else, he doesn't do smicha. V'ha'isha, and a woman. And these are all based off psukim. Now we further describe what smicha is. Smicha, shiari mitzvah, it's considered remnants of the mitzvah. It's not the ikar mitzvah, and if smicha is not done, that's not ma'ak of the carbon. The carbon is still valid. A person l'chatchila has to do smicha, and it's not a good thing if he doesn't do smicha, but it's still considered shiari mitzvah, and the carbon still kosher and counts even if he doesn't do smicha. And where is smicha done? Al harosh, on the head of the animal. How is it done? B'shtei yodayim, with both hands placed on the head. Furthermore, welcome shesaimchin shechtin, in the place where smicha was done, that's where it's shechted. So for whatever reason, it was done outside the azara. The animal has to be brought into the azara to have smicha done over there, because smicha and shechita have to happen in the same place. And lastly, v'techav l'smicha shechita, right after smicha has to be shechita. So right after the person leans on the animal and does the smicha, it has to be shechted. And we have one more mission about smicha. Chomer b'smicha mitnufa ubatnufa mibasmicha. There's a chomer that we find by smicha, leaning on the animal before shechita, over tenufa, which refers to parts of the carbon that are waved about. And we find the chomer the other way around, a chomer by tenufa over smicha. What is that? She'echad meinif l'chol chaverim ve'ein echad soimich l'chol chaverim. So let's say a bunch of people got together and they decided to donate a carbon to the Beis HaMikdash. That's perfectly fine. We could do that. So one of them could do tenufa for all of them, but one of them cannot do smicha for all of them. All of them have to do smicha on the animal. What's the chomer we find by tenufa? She'tenufa nehegas b'karbonos hayachid u'b'karbonos tzibur. It applies by both private and public karbonos. B'chaim u'b'ashchutim, with ones that are alive and even ones that are shechted. B'davar she'yesh b'yerochaim, b'davar she'ein b'yerochaim, with something that was alive and something that wasn't alive, namely l'chamim of karbon toida and nazir and the shtei alechem and the like of oil that's brought by mitzayra, minchas ha'omer. All these need to have tenufa. They need to be waved around, but they're im b'yerochaim because they're just plants and they're not like animals. Mashenkim b'smicha. This does not apply by smicha. As we had said, smicha is only by animals and mostly by karbonos yachid and not by karbonos tzibur, and it's also only when the animal's alive, not after it's dead. And moving on to Perek Yud, Mishnah Aleph. In this Perek, we're going to be discussing the Minchas HaOmer. As we mentioned this Mincha before, this is one of the few Minchas Tzibur, a Mincha that's a Karbon Tzibur, and this is brought on the second day of Pesach, also known as the Karbon HaOmer, as we begin by discussing the harvesting of his barley. Rabbi Shmuel Omer Shmuel says, HaOmer HaYabah B'Shabbos, when was Shabbos, meaning on the 16th of Nisan, the day that the Omer was being brought, fell out on Shabbos. So how much barley was cut down? Mishalosh Sa'in, it was 3 Sa'a of barley, U'b'chol Mechamesh. And when the 16th of Nisan was during the week, so then it came from 5 Sa'a of barley. That's because even though cutting of the barley for the Karbon HaOmer is Daicha Shabbos, so we're allowed to do it on Shabbos no problem, we have to try to minimize Malacha as much as possible. That's what Rabbi Shmuel says. When it's on Shabbos, we cut down only 3 Sa'a of barley and sift that down to get 1 Isaroin, whereas during the week, we can get even finer flour and sift even more, so we cut down 5 Sa'a of barley. Whereas the Chamer and the Chamer argue that no, Echad B'Shabbos, Echad B'Chol, Mishalish Hayabah, whether it's during the week or on Shabbos, there's no difference. It comes from 3 Sa'a of barley. Another Machlaik is Chanis Gan Kanamimer. He says, B'Shabbos, when it was on Shabbos, Hoya Nikzer B'Yachid, it was cut down, it was harvested only by one person, Uvamagal Achas, and with one sickle, meaning this person who's doing the cutting, the harvesting, he had one sickle with him, Ubakupa Achas, and he only put it into one basket. U'B'Chol, however, when it was during the week, B'Shloisha, it was done by 3 people, U'B'Shalish Kupais, and 3 baskets, U'B'Shalish Magalis, with 3 sickles. Basically, everyone had their own sickle and basket, and that's because in order to be mefarsim, in order to publicized that we're cutting down the Omer, the nighttime, right before the day of the 16th. And the reason why this is important to publicize is because the Tzedukim, they're the sect of Jews that only learn from Psukim. They don't follow the Rabbanans, and that means they read Psukim literally. And the Pasuk tells us regarding the Korban Omer, Mimachros HaShabbos. Now the Chum explained the Machros HaShabbos, the day after Shabbos, really means the day after Yom Tif, meaning the day after the first day of Pesach, the Hainu, the second day of Pesach. But the Tzedukim understand that to literally mean Mimachros HaShabbos, the first day after Shabbos, meaning Sunday. So they hold that the Korban Omer has to be brought on Sunday. And that's what Chinuch Sgan Hakadosh is emphasizing, that when it was cut down during the week, it was done with three people with three sickles and three baskets and made a whole toodaloo about it to show that we always cut it down the night before the 16th, no matter when it is. However, Chachamim say, we want to publicize this no matter what. Echad b'Shabbos v'echad b'chol, b'shleisha u'b'shalosh kupas u'b'shalosh magalos. Even if it was on Shabbos, for sure during the week, but even if it came out on Shabbos, we still do it with three people, three baskets, and three sickles in order to show the Tzedukim that they're wrong. How we think discussing the Korban Omer, the Mishnah tells us, mitzvah sa'omer lovim na'karv. The mitzvah is to bring the Omer from the closest place possible. You walk out of Yerushalayim, you find the first barley growing, take that. Ein mavir na'al mitzvahs, don't pass by it. Cut that down and bring it in. Let's say loy bikar karv liYerushalayim, that which is close to Yerushalayim didn't ripen yet, so you can't use it. So then, mivino se mikol makom, it can be brought from any place in Eretz Yisrael. And my there's a story, shabami gagas srifin u'shtei alechem mibikas ein soicher, that the Omer came from this place called gagas srifin, and the shtei alechem, that's from wheat, which is for shvuas, that came from bikas ein soicher, and these are very far from Yerushalayim, so obviously, if you can't find close to Yerushalayim, you go very far from Yerushalayim. Moving on to Mishnah Gimel, ketzad hayu oisim, what was the actual tahalucha? How did it work with them cutting down the Omer? So shluchei bezin yotzim erev yomtif. Messengers of bezin would go to where the Omer was, erev yomtif, meaning before the first day of Pesach, they would make bundles of it while it was still attached to the ground, so that matzah yomtif, meaning matzah the first day of Pesach, it would be easy to cut because it was already in perfectly sized bundles that all you would have to do is cut it down. All the cities that were in that whole area, they would come and gather, so that when it was cut down, it should be a whole matzah, it should be a whole situation going on with lots of people there. And as we said before, we're going to see a little bit later on as well, this is to specifically show the Tzedukim that we cut the Omer Matzei the first day of Pesach, and it's not done Matzei Shabbos. Again, they understand the pasuk that says Mimachras HaShabbos as being literal, right after Shabbos, that's when you cut the Omer. No, it's right after Yom Tif, whenever Yom Tif happens to be. So what was the procedure? Kivin Shechashcha, once it got dark, it's Matzei Yom Tif now, Omer Lahem, the messenger of Bezim is going to be cutting it down, ask the people who are all gathered around, Ba HaShemesh, did the sun set? Omer Hain. They say yes. Ba HaShemesh, did it set? Omer Hain. They say yes. Then he says, Magalzu, should I use the sickle? Armin Hain, they say yes. Magalzu, should I use the sickle? Armin Hain, they say yes. Then he asks him, Kupazu, should I use this basket? Armin Hain, yes. Kupazu, this basket? Armin Hain, yes. And Bishabbos Armilhem, if it's Shabbos, meaning if the first day of Pesach was on Friday, so Matzah, the first day of Pesach, is now Shabbos, he says, Shabbazu, should I cut it on Shabbos? Armin Hain, they say yes. Shabbazu, Armin Hain, yes. Then he says, Exer, should I cut now? Vahim Armin Malay Kitsar, they tell him, yes, cut it. He says, Exer, should I cut it? Vahim Malay Kitsar, yes, cut it. And Shalish Pa'am al Kaldar of Davar, really, this was said three times, every single thing. He would repeat it three times, and Vahim Oimrim Loi, Hain, Hain, Hain. They tell him, yes, yes, yes. And V'chol Kach Lama, why do all this? Mibnei HaTzedukim, Ubay Susim, that's a proper girsa, because Tzedukim and the Bay Susim, Shahayu Oimrim, they used to say, in Ktsir Sa'imr Matzah Yomtif. There's no Ktsir Sa'imr on Matzah Yomtif. We only cut the Oimr Matzah Shabbos. And in order to show that they're wrong, we make a whole matzah and toodaloo and situation out of it, so they should see that what we do is correct, and their pshat is wrong. We're going to stop it for the day and pick up tomorrow with Mishnah Dalid, but for now, everyone should have a wonderful day.